A Vermont garage. A Saturday morning, a 5-year-old playing alone in the backyard. Joshua Becker was drowning in stuff, surrounded by boxes, tools, sporting equipment, and forgotten purchases that had somehow multiplied like weeds. Hours passed as he sorted through the mess, missing precious time with his son. Then his elderly neighbor leaned over the fence and mentioned her daughter. She's a minimalist, doesn't keep much at all. That offhand comment hit like lightning. Becker looked at the mountain of possessions spread across his driveway, then at his son playing alone, and realized his stuff wasn't bringing happiness, it was stealing it. Within months, the Beckers eliminated half their belongings. What began as one family's awakening became a movement, with Becker's blog reaching millions and challenging a fundamental assumption of modern life, that more is better. Minimalism isn't about sterile white rooms or deprivation. It's the intentional promotion of what matters most and the removal of everything that distracts from it. Consider Troy Kubsky, working two jobs to maintain a barely affordable house filled with joyless bargain finds. After discovering the tiny house movement, he removed 1,389 items from his home. With tears streaming, he explained, "I needed hope. Hope that life could be different, better." Minimalism isn't giving up everything. Becker's home contains normal furnishings, family photos, and toys. They've simply escaped excessive accumulation. It also differs from organizing. As Courtney Carver asks, if organizing your stuff worked, wouldn't you be done by now? Organizing without removing excess provides only temporary relief. Minimalism isn't new. Our most trusted spiritual leaders have promoted it for millennia. When a wealthy young official asked Jesus what he must do to gain eternal life, Jesus told him to sell everything, give to the poor, and follow him. This wasn't a test. It was an invitation to freedom. The man's possessions were preventing him from truly living. There's no formula or magic number. Dave Bruno limited himself to 100 possessions. Colin Wright fit everything in a backpack and moved countries every 4 months. Tammy Strobel lived with her husband in a 128-square-foot tiny house. Leo Babuda moved his family of 8 from Guam to San Francisco with just one suitcase each. This diversity reveals a truth. Craft your own minimalism to suit your unique lifestyle. Most people don't start with crystal-clear goals. Begin minimizing anyway. The process itself clarifies your vision. Dave and Cheryl Balthrop discovered this on an Oregon coast road trip. Listening to minimalist podcasts, they recognized the disconnect between their stated priorities and how they actually spent their time. Despite financial comfort, they struggled to find time for family, faith, health, and retirement, all sacrificed to maintain their dream home and appearances. After returning, they sold their house and moved to a smaller home across the street. Decreased distraction brought newfound focus. Unburdened from unnecessary belongings, they discovered new passions. Dave found a love of writing. Cheryl transformed her law practice from litigation to mediation. Becker's 5-year-old had a birthday gift certificate for a skateboard, but fixated on a dinosaur pop-up tent once inside the toy store. "Dad, I need this tent," he declared solemnly. We're all like 5-year-olds when shopping, captivated by glamorous goods regardless of need. Modern consumerism emerged barely a century ago. In the 1920s, advertisers deliberately linked ownership with happiness, aided by psychologists like Ernest Dichter, who believed desires have to be continuously stirred up. Today's marketers exploit our insecurities with precision, knowing our preferences, habits, and finances. Yet consumption never delivers. It steals freedom and creates unquenchable desire. Consider Black Friday, where gratitude becomes America's biggest shopping event. Retailers deploy loyalty programs, store credit cards that double spending, artificial scarcity, deceptive sale pricing, and disorienting layouts. After purging over 1,000 items, journalist Margot Starbuck walked through her once-favorite mall, feeling no desire to acquire anything, experiencing instead perfect satisfaction knowing I already have more than enough. This is minimalism's promise, liberation from the need to possess. Anthony and Amy Ongaro couldn't afford family trips despite good incomes. When another Amazon package arrived, a $35 phone case, Amy connected their small purchases to budget problems. Their history revealed over $10,000 spent in 4 years on forgettable items under $40. Many confuse security with comfort, believing possessions provide safety. Yale psychologist Margaret Clark's research shows security comes from both material goods and supportive relationships. Those insecure in relationships often overvalue possessions, while those overestimating what possessions provide undervalue relationships. True security comes from developing rich relationships, not building a fortress of wealth. We chase contentment through material possessions, high-paying jobs, large homes, new purchases, yet it constantly recedes. What if contentment lies in the opposite direction? The less we need, the more we can give away. But the inverse is also true. The more we give, the less we need. People who give away possessions value their remaining items more highly. Those who donate time use their remaining time better. Generosity teaches contentment, helping us appreciate what we have and find fulfillment beyond acquisition. Most people tackle the hardest areas first: sentimental items, books, children's toys. This focus on obstacles prevents many from starting. Instead, build momentum by clearing simple areas like your car, a drawer, or bathroom cupboard. Experience success before tackling challenging areas. Before removing anything, write down your reasons for minimizing: getting out of debt, creating a less hectic schedule, spending more time with family. These motivations will serve as crucial inspiration when decluttering becomes difficult. The 80-20 rule applies to possessions. We use 20% of our stuff 80% of the time. Start in frequently used areas: living rooms, bedrooms, bathrooms, where simplification has immediate impact. An easy method is eliminating duplicates. A family of four might have a dozen towels, but two per person is sufficient. Apply this throughout your home with bowls, linens, pens, clothes, tools. Your home will contain only your favorites of every object. Share your story with friends and family. "I'm actually happier when I own less." Sharing keeps you accountable and reminds you why you started. Minimalism's impact extends beyond decluttered spaces. When Becker received his book advance, their debt-free lifestyle enabled them to found the Hope Effect, a nonprofit creating family-style homes for orphans worldwide. The Becoming Minimalist community now funds these projects. Ordinary people owning less accomplish extraordinary things for others. We all crave significance, living beyond ourselves. Though our world obsesses over measuring influence, we miss a crucial truth: we already have it. Every interaction either adds value to others' lives or drains it. Minimalism can enable leisure or adventures, but for maximum return, use it to help others. This is the true more of less. Our lives gain lasting significance not through possessions, but through enabling others to live better. In a world equating success with excess, minimalism offers radical freedom: liberation from stuff's tyranny, space to breathe and grow, and resources to make real impact. Your possessions don't define you. Your impact does. The greatest gift of owning less isn't what you lose, it's everything you finally have room to gain.